What I find really interesting now is that the science community is looking at the association between pain and emotion. There's been much research commented about in media and scientific journals, but this is something we've known for many years, many millennia actually, and well known in the yoga science literature, but not maybe in the medical realm. There was a recent article in the New York Times last year, 2019, that said, "Is pain a sensation or an emotion?" That was the title of the article. In fact, the International Association for Pain has changed the definition of pain to an unpleasant sensory and emotional experience. So I think we've known that before, though, because we have terms in our just normal culture that give us this hint. We have statements like hurt feelings. So there's an element of pain and an element of emotion. But yoga science has known this for a very long time. In fact, the word for pain and sorrow is the same word, dukkha. Panaji says it very eloquently in his most recent commentary on the Yoga Sutras, the practice of the Yoga Sutra, the Sadhanapada. In the introduction, he writes, and I'll just read his eloquent writing. "Ours is a culture that views pain as a physical condition and encourages us to cure it by swallowing a pill. Even though most of us know pain has a deeper emotional dimension, we fail to recognize that treating sorrow and emotional torment is as urgent as treating physical pain. We shy away from exploring the deeper dimensions of pain and its crippling effect on life as a whole." So, those words of wisdom are really helpful, but why? Why, knowing this connection, what is that, how does that help us with people that are struggling with pain? It's because we know the more we understand about pain, that knowledge, that education is actually a healing modality. So they've done a study where they took a group of people that had pain that were going to a physical therapist. There was one group that had really good physical therapy, and then another group had really good physical therapy followed by basic pain education, what pain really means in our body and how it affects both our physical body, our brain, and our emotions. The people that had this additional education actually did much better with reduction of pain, reduction in a need of medication, and improved function. So knowing more about how pain affects us actually helps us heal the pain. And knowing that there's a connection between the emotional and physical aspects of pain just opens up a more thorough palette of treatment options. So we're not just looking for the next medication that blocks a pain receptor in our spinal cord. We're looking for things that help us manage our emotions. This may be helpful to look at a brain model now in regards to what am I talking about that pain and emotion are linked at a brain level. This is a model of the brain. It's not as nicely color coordinated in our brain. This is the front of the brain. This is the back. So this sits in the back of the head. This sits in our forehead. And there's a groove that goes down the middle, and for demonstration purposes, I can show you what's going on inside. So when we're talking about the sensation of pain in an acute phase, something that's been going on for days or weeks, it registers here on the outside of the brain in what's called the somatosensory cortex. It's the relay station where information that's happening in our body is brought to our brain, and our brain does have to sort that information, decide if it's painful. So that's probably one very important factor to just be sure that we take into account is that pain is 100% subjective. There's no test for pain. When I say I have pain, there's no way that you can tell by any blood test or imaging test whether I'm having pain or not. And in fact, what may be painful to me may not be painful to someone else based on our previous experiences. So pain is always compared to other situations to decide if something is harmful and needs to be addressed, or it's a mild discomfort and doesn't need immediate attention. And that process does occur after the information is given to the somatosensory cortex and relayed to deeper areas of the brain in the thalamus. So that's acute pain. But when pain has been going on for prolonged periods, there's still some registering in this outer part of the brain, the part of the brain that's focused with things in the external world. But then pain is also registering on this internal aspect of the brain in the area that is part of the limbic system. The limbic system is the emotional part of our brain. It includes the amygdala that is our guard or our judge if something is a threat to us or not. And it also has a component of this area here that's kind of in the pink that hugs this area called the corpus callosum, or it's the bridge between the two hemispheres. This part of the brain is called the cingulate gyrus. Cingulate just means belt, so it looked to someone like a belt. The more important thing is to know that it's part of our higher brain, our cortex, but it also is part of our emotional brain. And that's really where a lot of the more persistent pain is being sensed in our body, not in the area that's just dealing with sensations, but the area that's dealing with sensation and emotion. And it's also in close proximity to this inside or medial part of our frontal lobe. And that area is really related to our higher kind of sorting or intellectual function so that we can determine if something is a serious threat or something is a mild discomfort. So this idea that acute pain, something that happens if like I accidentally touched a hot stove, that process is information that tells me, you know, remove my hand, there's something happening there. But when pain has been going on for a longer period of time, oftentimes there's not continued tissue damage that we need to avoid. And therefore, the body brings in, or the brain and mind bring in, other systems to help us mitigate the pain and to help us support the ways that we can deal with reducing it. The emotional part of pain really has an impact on helping us or hurting us in regards to asking for help. If you're having a lot of pain, there can be a tendency to isolate, and therefore you don't go out and interact with your friends and family, and there can be a sense of loneliness. And so realizing that this emotional component is at play, it may help prompt you to look for ways of connecting, whether it's even just phone, you know, calling a friend or getting out in nature and feeling that you're part of a whole. The other tried and true ways to help both pain and emotion together with one modality is in the form of exercise or movement. Movement helps manage our pain by keeping the other parts of our body moving and mobile. And exercise in and of itself releases some natural pain-fighting chemicals like endorphins and endocannabinoids that are produced in our brain. But movement also improves emotion. We always say that the root word of emotion is motion. And from an integrative or holistic way of managing mood, the first thing we often offer is for people to think about movement as a way to manage their mood. So movement and exercise can help with pain, and it can help with mood. And so you're combining something that can tackle both issues. Another really potent way of helping pain and emotional issues is breathing. So breathing can settle down our nervous system, reduce our hypervigilance or our feeling threatened or our fight or flight response, but it also increases our pain threshold. So An increased pain threshold means that something that was painful is now less painful. So you want your pain threshold to increase to some degree. And even in people without pain, doing diaphragmatic deep breathing that will actually reduce their pain threshold. So something that may have felt painful now may just feel warm or hot if they're doing a study with a little thermosensor. So knowing this connection about how our brain has kind of this wisdom to bring in other parts of itself when we're dealing with something on a more persistent basis, and knowing that if we know how pain works, it actually helps us manage our pain. And then lastly, knowing that there's an emotional component that just is natural. It's how the brain is made. It's not that there's something wrong with our mood because we're having pain and we're also having some anxiety or depression. We just know that those go together. And so if we treat them together, we're going to get a more long-lasting and sustained way of healing.